Google's March 2024 core update. Let's talk about that. So this is going to be a longer episode. I've got my cold brew coffee right here next to me, and I have a lot to go over and a lot that I want to share. So basically, Google's March 2024 core update, which began roughly around March 6th, I believe. So it's been about 2 weeks, and people have been making a lot of content on YouTube, on Twitter about this update, and most of it's negative, as with most previous updates, like the helpful content update. But I'm going to share a bit of a different perspective from all the videos that I've consumed and I've watched on this topic, which are very great, by the way, because it's good to get so many perspectives and data points. But in my experience, I'm actually seeing the opposite of what a lot of people are reporting, and I'm actually seeing a boost in growth, if not just neutral impact, like just continuing to grow up and to the right, whether it's a little bit, whether it's actually significant in my personal portfolio of sites along with my student sites in the past 2 weeks. And it's because of these five principles that I'm going to be sharing in this video, which is why it's going to be pretty long, because I'm going to talk about each of these. And if you're missing any one of these, I think it's a reason that you may get penalized. And I haven't really heard this information presented in this way, at least. So I think it's really important to watch this video all the way through. And it's important to listen to every single thing I'm about to say, because this is 10 years of experience in SEO, having gone through Penguin Panda updates in the past and being paranoid from those things. That's why these principles exist. And it's why I sleep easy at night when there's updates, because I have not personally, you know, knock on wood, been penalized by a previous Google update. Now, I want to throw out the disclaimer. Nothing is guaranteed, especially with algorithms that are out of all of our control. But there are many things you can do, in my experience, to prevent getting penalized. And prevention is the number one key. Once you get hit, it's already a little bit too late. You can recover. So I'm going to share a story of one of my students, the only student that I know who's gotten penalized, and how they were able to recover after losing 90% of their traffic after a previous core update. But what they did, and you know, what they did to get penalized, because looking back now, it's kind of clear. We don't know for sure, but I think I know why they got penalized, and I'm going to share that later in this video. So the first thing I want to say is don't panic until the update's fully rolled out and the dust has settled. Lots of volatility, things can reverse during the time of the rollout and shortly after, unless you get hit with a manual action penalty. This is one thing that if you get hit with this, I don't know if you can recover. I know that you can like resubmit reconsideration, but manual penalty, to my knowledge, is some human over at Google looked at your website and said, no, this is spam. This is high, you know, a high amount of spam or very, very low quality website and content. And there's people on Twitter and YouTube who were boasting about publishing hundreds, if not thousands, of AI articles per week and ranking highly on Google Search Console. Now, a lot of those sites are completely de-indexed from manual action penalty from Google. And in my opinion, my reaction is like, what did you think was going to happen, right? I'm kind of happy, to be honest, that, you know, experiments and things like that, they were cool and fun to like watch, but people who are actually putting in the hard work and not using these tools to just spit out 1,000 crappy articles, you know, it's kind of an insult to people who are really like putting in a lot of work. So in my opinion, I think that that was warranted. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? Again, 10 years of seeing Google algorithm updates, it's to remove trash and spam and hopefully lower that. And it's not perfect, but at the same time, I'm just happy that things like that, we don't need 1,000 more crappy articles on the internet. And there's a quote here from an ancient Greek philosopher, count no man happy until the end is known. So when those case studies and things were blowing up and, you know, it was going crazy, it looks like the greatest thing ever. But, you know, fast forward 6 months, 1 year later, and those sites are de-indexed and getting zero traffic, you know, count no man happy until the end is known. Okay. So yeah, I don't think it's possible to recover from a manual action penalty until we see it. And I'm sure if you change a lot of the things that my student did, you probably could. Those will probably be the same exact actions if you want to recover from any sort of, whether it's a manual action penalty where you get a notification, or if you don't get a notification, but you do get a 90% drop in traffic, you do get penalized without a notification, you're gonna wanna do these steps. And the last thing I wanna share before we jump into the first principle is there are reasons to be happy about an algorithm update. There are always winners and losers after each update, not just losers. Despite what the YouTube comments and the Twitter threads may seem like, when a ranking is lost, someone else is taking that spot. It doesn't just disappear. And that could be you. So let's jump into the first principle and the reason why I'm able to not worry about Google SEO updates. So principle number one, and a lot of people are not gonna like this one, but it's no black hat or even gray hat at all, even if it's remotely gray hat. So just to throw some things out there, content spinners and sketchy software that sounds too good to be true, promising growth with little work. Expired domains. Now that's one I actually personally didn't think there was an issue with. It does veer towards light gray hat. I don't have an issue with expired domains, but what people were doing was they would basically purchase a domain that used to have some kind of domain authority and has backlinks even to this day, but the site is defunct. It, you know, the domain expired, the person who's running it, webmaster or just the website owner, they just stopped updating it, or they'd stop paying for their domain service and they no longer own the domain. People would buy up these domains and they would spin it up with a new site with new content and hope to translate that old domain authority and backlinks to the new site. So I know that this is a very popular technique. I didn't think anything was wrong, but come on, let's be honest here. That's kind of gray hat if you were to just like put it into a bucket. I don't think it was black hat, but I do think it was kind of in the gray hat area, okay? So I don't personally do those things. Next is buying backlinks. You know, there's so much about backlinks that's a whole video on its own, but you know, buying backlinks for the purpose of just gaming the system and trying to buy your way to authority. Parasite SEO, that's a hot topic, and I think that's gray hat, if not black hat, or even against, you know, it's, I think, explicitly listed in the Google Search Console or Central blog that is like site reputation abuse, I believe. But overall, like my thoughts on Parasite SEO is like, I don't think I think that's super gray hat, if not black hat. And then lastly, blatantly over optimizing for SEO, keyword stuffing to the point of unnatural language. You know, I mean, you just know it when you see it, right? When something is like super, super just for SEO, it's not for a human to digest because it's horrible to read. It's like not even proper grammar. So stop looking for shortcuts and build real value instead. The lesson that helped me to stop worrying is I never try to outsmart Google or the algorithm, okay? Know the rules of the game very well, front to back, before you play, and instead play to the algorithm, play to the strengths, okay? So at Google, these are the smartest engineers in the world. Any loophole some blogger or YouTuber finds on the internet will be short-lived before being patched and ultimately punished, which is what we're seeing right now with the manual action penalties. Okay. And the other thing is, most people don't want to admit when they did something wrong. Nobody is 100% innocent, in my perspective. When we talk about AI generated content, which is a hot topic of this update, people say, I only use a little bit of AI for my post, then I edited it. Okay. So can we quantify that? How much percentage is a little bit, right? Is it 50%? Is it 70%? Is it 80% was AI generated, then you just sprinkled on that 20% on top and thought you were good? So buying a new domain and having 300 blog posts in 6 months is incredibly suspicious, and Google is not dumb, okay? So these are bad signals to be sending to Google. It's cause for red flags, honestly. And, you know, just to share, like, from my perspective, and you need to have an idea of ownership when it comes to any of your anything that comes to business or content or the algorithm not favoring you. When my YouTube videos don't go viral, I never blame the algorithm, okay? I blame the fact that I disappear for 3 to 6 months at a time without an upload, which I've done multiple times. I personally know that the algorithm loves consistency. You hear all the biggest YouTubers talk about consistency. And I own up to the fact that I haven't been consistent. So it's that simple. Take a look in the mirror and be honest where you fall short when it comes to your website, your content, your YouTube channel. Some people have to be way more honest with themselves, and they're not being honest. Let's move on to principle number two, which is the highest quality content possible. Everybody thinks their content is high quality, quote unquote. I seriously doubt that. I've reworked some of my content for this recent case study I'm doing 4 times in the past month alone, and I still don't think it's the best that it can possibly be. You can always, always improve and find new ways to make your content better. And the algorithm isn't entirely random. There are signals that your site or content is sending that is resulting in some effect. Just think about that. It's not just completely, completely random. Something is wrong or not as good as it could be. Next, at the end of a lot of the other SEO videos, they basically summarize and say, now I'm going to focus on higher quality, helpful content and cutting down on the AI content and fluff. What were you doing before? So that's why I'm seeing a bit of a just disconnect, because I personally am doing 100% human-ridden content, especially for my recent case study, but for all my personal sites, I just never did any AI-generated content. Now let's talk about EEAT. This is super important. I think that this is something that a lot of people just overlook, and you hear it all the time, right? EEAT, the EAT method, which is expertise, experience, that's a new one, okay? It used to be just EAT, like expertise, authority, trustworthiness. Now it's experience, expertise, authority, trustworthiness. They really want that firsthand, first person POV experience. Now, if you aren't an expert today, don't worry, okay? Unless it's like a super medical site that requires you to be an MD or have certifications, just make the long-term goal that you're building towards gaining expertise every time you research and write a 2,000 word article and hit publish, and you're always improving and you're staying up to date on all the latest news. That's how you gain expertise. No one's born an expert, okay? So personalized content from first person perspective that's not robotic and vanilla summarization from ChatGPT. Now the next thing with high quality content is, you know, these thousands of AI articles, right? Buying a domain 2 weeks ago, publishing hundreds, thousands of AI articles. That's a one-way ticket to get de-index. I mean, this is not quality content. Let's just be honest here. Now, on the flip side, one single blog post can rank for over 700 keywords. It's way more efficient to focus on quality over quantity. I'd rather have 50 posts ranking for 500 keywords each, that's 25,000 keywords ranking from just 50 posts, okay? But if you're only ranking for 50 keywords each, you're not as efficient, that's only 2,500 keywords that you're ranking for from 50 posts, which is still not bad, but it's not 25,000, okay? So the next thing is writing for humans consuming your actual content, not the search engine, not SEO. This is goes back to the helpful content update. Answer the user's search intent as early as possible. Avoid generic, repetitive, redundant info. The internet doesn't need more of this trash. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of this AI generation is just repeating and parroting. I focus on at least 80% plus human written. Personally, I do 100%. So I'm even just more paranoid about this. And that's just me. I just have a low risk tolerance when it comes to quality content. Because if everyone's debating AI generated versus not AI generated, personally, I don't think that if you use any AI generation that that's bad or that that's not allowed. I think that is allowed. I'm just saying that if you were to split it up and quantify, okay, how much percentage of your article or your articles, you know, a lot of the sites that were getting manual penalties or manual actions and who are getting DNX, they had close to 100% AI generated content, if not, you know, 100% AI generated articles completely, they were having like 90% AI generated, 10% human edited. So that's just one thing I read from one of the case studies online. I believe it was from Originality AI. And so if you want to just avoid that controversy of AI generated versus not, just don't do it. And then you don't even have to worry about that problem. I know it's hard though, right? Having to do 2,000 words by hand. So the next thing is word count. Don't artificially inflate your word count to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 words just for SEO alone. Answer the question, provide value straightforward and directly. Vice versa, if your content's very thin, we're talking only 300, 400 words, that might not be long enough. And that might be thin content that doesn't completely answer the question in one go, which is one thing they want from the helpful content update. So you might need to add a little bit more FAQs, you know, frequently asked questions and more headings and answers to that topic, Okay. So just to summarize on AI content, you know, this only looks good on the surface. When you dive into the nuance and the details, and if you're someone who actually knows your niche, right? And I'm reading an AI product review of a physical product that AI cannot get their hands on, that I have in my hands, you very easily see that it lacks the details and the nuance to actually form original opinions about the product. It can just summarize other reviews, but I mean, that's not adding to the world's knowledge base. So the way I see it, AI is good at summarizing existing past knowledge that it can meaningfully parse, but today's AI, you know, really it's just kind of word vomiting, but struggling with hard things like reasoning, chain of thought, and abstract ideas, which is what they're working on right now. The latest AI companies are working more on just more sophisticated chain of thought, logic, reasoning, and abstract thinking. So again, I just want to say it's easy for me to tell if something is truly human-ridden and original versus AI if you know what you're talking about, okay? The devil's in the details. I want to add original photos and Canva graphics with watermarks of your logo. This is something that I've been doing and I started doing more, and that's one thing that they'd like to see, especially for product reviews. And you really need to have dialed on-page SEO. You can't just skip on-page SEO. I see a lot of students who need to dial in their SEO on page, and that needs to be better because maybe your content is good, but if your SEO is lacking in terms of the on-page, because the Google crawl bot is the one that reads your page, if it can't read your H2 headings, or you know, you don't really have all the right signals, then that's another reason. So some people, they, not everyone knows 100% like SEO all the way through. Like you, SEO is a skill, right? So you may have really good content, but bad SEO. That's totally possible. And vice versa, good SEO, bad content. And the last thing is technical SEO. No one's talking enough about this. I think, I've always thought this is a factor, but passing Core Web Vitals 100%, having fast page load speeds, having low blocking time, and the things that are in the Core Web Vitals that create a bad user experience. I just believe in having a good user experience regardless of the algorithm. I like fast websites. Okay, let's move on to principle number 3, micro niche down and do not write about anything even remotely outside of your niche. Okay, so let's talk about the one student I've had that got penalized, that lost 90% of their traffic overnight, and they were crushing it before they got hit, and it was sad to see. The student that got penalized, they were writing about every keyword inside of Ahrefs with high volume and low difficulty that was super irrelevant topics to their website. And you know, at the end of the day, this is basically like a cash grab, but for SEO. And it's very obvious what they're doing, and it's to juice the numbers. That's the only purpose, to write about these topics. One popular one at least a year ago or so was YouTube to MP3 converter. I remember even looking at that and thinking to myself, maybe I want to write about that, just because it was like hundreds of thousands of search volume and then just super low keyword difficulty, maybe something like 3 keyword difficulty. It was like nothing, okay? And then sites were just crushing off that one term. There were some other ones similar to that, but that's a general idea of what I'm talking about. Google prefers sites that are hyper-focused, covering many broad topics. Covering many broad topics appears very spammy on the opposite end, okay? Unless you are like Forbes or Business Insider with a 90 plus DA, domain authority. If you're a small one-person niche site with low domain authority, do not attempt to be like New York Times or Business Insider. Focus on a micro niche, focus on an expertise. They literally mention in the helpful content update, what they're looking for is, does your site have a specific purpose, okay? That to me translates to micro niche. And also, it's just easier for your audience to understand your brand if you only talk about that one thing, okay? They're not confused by different signals. And lastly, there are so many profitable micro niches, so don't get greedy here. You don't need to have 5 different broad profitable niches. Just find a profitable niche, micro niche down, get your piece, and then be number 1, number 2, number 3 of that micro niche. Don't even compete with all the big boys in these super, super broad topics. So principle number 4, this one is one that I don't see enough talked about, and it's one that people are probably violating, which is the 50-50 principle. So 50% informational content, 50% affiliate content, the breakdown of your site's content overall, okay? Informational content has zero affiliate links or pushing people to buy anything or make a purchase. It's simply just answering things like FAQ questions or doing a how-to or a tutorial article. Big mistake, beginners tend to do 100% affiliate content before gaining any authority or trust, which is only built over time. If you want to be super safe here, 80% info content, 20% affiliate content if you want to be extra safe. I think if your content's really high quality, I think you could play around with this a little bit more, but still, just think about that. 50-50. Most sites are doing 100% affiliate only. And that is not a good signal to send to Google if you don't have that brand and that authority built up yet. And the fifth principle, which is not exactly as direct about SEO, but it's something that's going to make your business better, and it can rank on SEO, but we're talking about diversifying to multiple platforms and traffic sources, okay? And I've been talking about this. I've been talking about how great YouTube is, and YouTube shows up on Google search results, and it's starting to even be prioritized a little bit more thanks to this update from what I have seen and what I have heard. I've also seen another site that's been popping up more, which is Pinterest. There are blogs that are getting like 70, 80% of their traffic just from Pinterest alone, and then the rest from Google Organic. So they're relying almost solely on Pinterest, actually, as opposed to Google or anything else. TikTok videos are showing up in the Google search results, something that I'm very curious about, but man, that would be such a way to leapfrog without even having to do YouTube, which is a bit longer. You could do YouTube Shorts, which is the same format as TikTok. But if you could do YouTube or TikTok and just leapfrog all these thousands of articles for the same keyword, I've been doing this case study recently, and I'm just thinking to myself every time I do a search and I'm looking at the keywords everywhere, search volume, I'm looking at all the results on the first page, I'm thinking to myself, I should just make a YouTube video. This will be way easier to rank because it'll stand out. There's way less YouTube videos than there are blog posts talking about the same keyword. And the last one's email marketing. You own your email list. Email marketing is a way to solidify and make your business more durable. You have a list of buyers and people interested in your niche or your topic, and you're building your brand and your authority and trustworthiness with an audience. So yeah, when I look at what you could do now, I think there's so much opportunity if you can combine not just having strong website SEO, but if you could also double up. If you're going to spend 4 hours on an article, which I've been doing lately, and you're going to have 2,800 words, you might as well just turn that to a YouTube video. Whip out your iPhone, throw something together, get that title locked into that keyword the same way you did the blog post. I typically recommend people start with a website first because it's harder to rank with a website and with blog posts than it is to do on YouTube. But I think if you add YouTube on top after you've kind of gotten the base foundation for website SEO, I think YouTube becomes that much easier. And now you can also funnel people to your website so you can double up, double dip, and eventually you can have ad revenue both on your YouTube and on your website, and then you have affiliate links both on the YouTube description and your website blog posts. That's how actually I've been doing it for 10 years, this hybrid approach, and I love it. I think it's pure synergy because you can send people to your website from the YouTube, and that actually boosts your organic traffic in a way because it's boosting your engagement and the amount of visitors you get to your website, and vice versa. When you embed the YouTube video on your blog post, people are now staying 10 minutes to watch the YouTube video on the blog post, but that's sending a good engagement signal to Google. So that's why I call it synergy, because it really is. It's boosting your SEO on both platforms by doing one piece of content. And you get two chances to rank for a keyword. I love it. So that's something I teach, you know, in my programs, my coaching, like that's something that I personally do. Okay, so those are the five principles. If you abide by those five principles, that's the reason why I've been able to sleep easy at night, and I don't worry about SEO updates, honestly. I do keep up to date, and I keep a pulse on like, what are the effects? What are people talking about? You know, I'm watching these other videos and I'm trying to parse the information and the signals to, okay, how can I improve? How can I benefit from this update? Okay. It really does nothing to just be like, woe is me, I'm so unlucky, right? It's funny because I read some of these comments and I'm just thinking to myself, well, you know, one thing I've learned is if it's always like, oh, I'm so unlucky, like this happened to me, that happened to me, I'm blaming this and that, chances are the common denominator is you. So sometimes you have to look yourself in the mirror. It's hard for people to be honest with themselves. I'm honest with myself. Like I said earlier, I haven't been consistent on YouTube, so I don't expect the algorithm to favor me. And that's my fault. I'm not going to blame anybody else. Okay. More people need to take that approach when it comes to their business. Now, the last thing I want to leave you with is let's talk about this student who got penalized, why they got penalized. Okay. I mentioned in principle, in one of these principles here, which was the third one, micro niching down, that they, first of all, they didn't do that. They didn't have a niche for their website in general. So that was already a cause for concern because I said, you know, you really need to niche down. And then they pushed back. They said that, you know, it's better to be general because you can be more flexible. And because, yeah, that was the debate. And I was like, okay, that's fine. It turns out, unfortunately, that they do want you to be specific in your purpose as a site, which translates to micro niching down or just niching down, period. So they didn't do that. Then the next one, again, writing about trendy keywords, and I think they mentioned this in the helpful content update, writing about trendy keywords for the sole purpose of piggybacking and gaming traffic and getting that SEO, even if it's totally outside your niche, has nothing to do, that is a big reason for them to penalize you, and that's unfortunately what they did. So yeah, for you, nobody's 100% innocent, in my opinion. I think you're sending some kind of signal, whether it's too much AI content, whether you're too broad content outside of your niche or not having the specific niche. If you were doing any gray hat or black hat techniques and you were, you know, cranking out hundreds of AI articles, and not even hundreds, but just like 100% AI article and just hitting publish, you've got to be honest there. How much did you use? Okay. And then lastly, over optimizing for SEO. There's it's kind of obvious when you're just going blatantly for it and it's a bad experience to read. It just doesn't feel human. It feels totally robotic. Like, you know, when you're digesting your own content, are you enjoying it? Are you getting satisfaction from it? Is it useful? Is it entertaining? So yeah, I honestly, let's talk about what the student did to recover, because in my experience, that was the one time that I personally had an experience of penalty from a core update, and I wasn't sure if they were going to be able to recover, but they actually did, to within 80-90% of where they were before. So it's not perfect, but it's better than just losing 90% traffic and never recovering again. So the first thing you need to do is you need to remove the problem material completely. So what this means is you've got to kind of cut off the part that's diseased of your website. That means the content that was causing the issues. And if it's irrelevant to your niche, take it out. Unpublish it, delete it, remove it from the sitemap. And unfortunately, that's probably what you have to do. So the thing that gave you all that traffic, but it got it to you in a way that was gaming the system, you have to get rid of it because it's just not something that's going to serve your brand or your niche. Okay. So that's hard. Then you're going to have to redo a lot of your content. You're going to have to look back at your old content, see what can be improved. If it's thin, you need to really bolster it up in terms of making it super useful, answering the question earlier in the content, not trying to over optimize for SEO. You're going to have to really revamp your content because, like I said, you're probably sending a signal that was bad to Google. Now, again, like, I'm sure there are sites that are doing the principles that may have been collateral damage, but again, the only way to be proactive here is to really just dig deep and try and figure out, okay, what did I do wrong? Okay, no one is doing everything 100% right or the best that they possibly could be. That's my opinion. I've seen a lot of content. I look at my own content, revamped it 4 times in the last month, and I'm still not totally done with it or happy. Okay. So if that takes me that much time, I think a lot of people could probably still improve whether they want to admit it or not. So after revamping your old content, removing the problem content completely, you've got to micro niche down. You've got to remove anything outside of that niche. And then you've got to work on having strong internal linking between your posts in a contextual, thoughtful way. And in a way that's not irrelevant. So this goes back to the over optimizing for SEO. You might be like stuffing, whether it's stuffing keywords or it's, you know, having links that are just irrelevant. And then the last thing I'd say is probably that 50-50 principle. If you have 100% affiliate content or even 90%, 80%, 70%, that's probably too much. So I'm curious, if we were to look at all the people who did get penalized, if we were to examine them through the lens of AI generation, 50-50 principle, high quality content, I'm curious how many would actually be passing this kind of test and this framework. I don't think there's many, to be honest, just from what I've seen, a lot of people are loving the AI generation stuff. So it's hard for me to believe that most people are doing it in a responsible way, just because of the crazy case studies and all the things you see, which, you know, I'll admit it's entertaining and it's like, it's an awesome like idea, but long term it doesn't fit with my principles or my framework. Like, I don't want to just give another 1,000 crappy articles to the internet. That's not like what I want to work on. Okay. So anyways, that wraps up my five principles. I was hoping I can bring some new perspective and some actionable things that you can work on and you can focus on moving forward to the future. And yeah, I think that these are things that make decisions easy for me. So when I get a decision to, you know, use this new AI tool or whatever, you know, it's easy for me to say no, because when everyone's going towards the easy way and they're reaching for the shortcuts, I run the opposite way. And that's the way to do it in business that I've learned, is when everyone wants that fast, quick, easy, instant gratification, go the opposite way, find the hard way, because the hard way is probably the right way. Unfortunately, that's just a truth to life, I guess. But you don't want to be following the crowd and the herd if everybody's complaining and everybody's getting these negative effects. You want to be going against the grain then and be doing the things that the winners of these updates are doing. So yeah, that basically wraps up this video. You know, SEO is something that I am passionate about, but I do teach to diversify, and I do teach YouTube, which is something I'm big on as well. And you know, in 2024, I truly believe website SEO, having a strong foundation with these principles, then throwing on YouTube with the same principles and the same chance to rank for the same keyword, so two times the chances, I believe that Pinterest is a very powerful thing. If your niche is relevant, Pinterest can drive insane amounts of traffic. And I'm just kind of unfortunate, because a lot of my niches I've done for my personal sites, they haven't been Pinterest niches, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. I need to use the platform more. And then I would say short form, YouTube Shorts and TikTok, you can do one video for both of them. Why not just crank that out? If you go through the lengths of doing a 2,000 word blog post, you might as well make a YouTube video. If you go through the length of doing a 10 minute YouTube video, you might as well make a 30 second YouTube Short and TikTok, which you can just do the same video. And you might as well repurpose each of your posts for Pinterest as well. That's just the tip of the iceberg. You do those four things though, I think that is the approach to build a strong brand in 2024, and also just to get the most out of what's available to you. But you know, while people are complaining, if you just focus on building equity into your online real estate, which is your website, which is every time you publish a blog post, it can rank for 700 plus keywords, a single post. That's building equity into your online business and to your digital real estate, okay? So keep expanding, keep building, and ignore a lot of the noise. There's so much noise online, and there's a lot of almost propaganda, if you ask me, because, you know, again, when I'm reading this affiliate marketing Reddit and I'm reacting to some of this truly terrible advice, that just goes to show that, hey, you can't just trust anonymous people on the internet, because if you get bad advice, then, I mean, you know, that's just no way to operate. You need to filter out the noise. That's the hard part. Our internet's filled with so much noise. So yeah, anyways, I hope you enjoyed this video. It was definitely a longer one, but if you got value, please hit the thumbs up button, comment below, let me know your thoughts. I tried to get as much info about the March Core 2024 update as much as possible, and it's still ongoing, so maybe there will be more updates to this, but this is what I'm seeing, and I'm hoping to just provide some actionable tips for how you can just be proactive during times like this and not just, you know, sit on the sideline, or, you know, not benefit from times like this, where it kind of resets things back to zero in a way. It resets the starting line so that, you know, the race begins again. And that's just the way I've always seen these updates. And in some ways, they're good because they correct things. If there's all this AI generation stuff, which, hey, if they're making case studies that were super popular, just imagine all the people who followed suit and were doing the same thing. It's just like an epidemic, right? So me personally, I'm not like jumping for joy that those sites got de-indexed, but I just think that it's correct. Like, I don't want to be competing against those sites because I'm actually putting an effort into my content. So I don't want, you know, like, just think about it from that perspective, right? I'm not taking any shortcuts. So, like, it's, for me, this is more meritocracy in a way. But anyways, I mean, that's just my opinion. That's my perspective, you know? So I hope you enjoyed this. And if you want to learn SEO from me, again, I've only had one student who's ever been penalized from a core update, and they did recover. And we do know now what they were doing wrong. But the way I teach SEO with these principles and the way that I've continued to do it, it's just very, very safe. It's super white hat. I don't do any gray hat, black hat, none of that. Don't even touch it. Okay. After Panda Penguin, witnessing those things, you just get paranoid. Okay. But for people who are willing to do white hat SEO, I think there's so much opportunity today. For all the sites that get de-indexed and that get penalized, that's your chance to take their spot. That's the way I see it, and that's what I'm seeing the last 2 weeks on Google Search Console personally. But yeah, so if you want to learn SEO from me, I have an SEO checklist. I have tons of content that's updated for 2024, how I'm making SEO content. And I'm working on a case study right now that I'm super excited to share soon with the private Discord community and within my passive income lifestyle coaching program. I've been working on that nonstop the past 2 weeks. Been super busy with that, but the growth has been really great. And I can't wait to share all I'm learning. And there's just so much that when you go into the trenches, and again, when you're writing 2,000 word posts by yourself, you're learning so much as you go along. So highly recommend you check those out in the description. There'll be information to sign up for those things or to learn more about them, but hope you got value from this. And, you know, just keep building, ignore the noise. I know it's so hard. There's so much negativity, but at the end of the day, all you can do is focus on what you can control, which is your effort. And so just, yeah, ignore the noise out there. And I wish you all the best of luck. And just, you know, It's hard when sometimes things are just out of your control, like these algorithm updates, but focusing on those things, you're giving energy to something you can't control. It's going to make you even worse in terms of the way you feel. So the only way to tackle fear is through action. When I'm being proactive and I am publishing, whether it's content, whether I'm sending an email, whether I'm, you know, making something, that's the only time where I feel at peace. When you're just reading, consuming, that's when you start to feel the negativity and the doubt creep up, and you need to stop yourself before you go down that rabbit hole. So I hope that advice was helpful to some of you. I know it's just like a turbulent time for some, but I'm hoping to provide some insight that can hopefully guide you all in the right direction. So hope to catch you on the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in every single week. If you do enjoy this, make sure to either engage with the video or leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever you listen. Super appreciate it. Thank you, and I'll see you in the next one.